This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Spending $50 million just through the end of this month as President Biden's reelection campaign is to saturate TV screens in battleground states with ads about Donald Trump's felony conviction. The former president is using his felony conviction and mugshot to raise money. It's going to be hot enough or too hot for over 75 million people this week in the U.S. Heat alerts affecting that many. New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
With climate change leading to more frequent and intense heat, summers are different than they were before. And so we should expect and be prepared for the hot weather that is coming.
Fire crews in Southern California say they're making progress against that big wildfire north of Los Angeles in the mountains. Police using water cannons to try to break up this protest of thousands in Jerusalem, but it didn't work. The protesters want new elections and want Prime Minister Netanyahu to resign. This is ABC News. The nation's top doctor wants to reduce mental health risks for young people.
In an op-ed in the New York Times, Dr. Vivek Murthy writes, a Surgeon General's warning label, which requires congressional action, would regularly remind parents and adolescents that social media has not been proved safe. He says that similar labels that were put on tobacco products helped dramatically reduce their usage.
ABC's Elizabeth Schulze in Washington. Some changes at the drive-thru.
If you frequent one of the more than 100 McDonald's locations that have used artificial intelligence at the drive-thru, get ready to talk to a human again. The Golden Arches are calling it quits on a partnership with IBM, which since 2021 has integrated AI chatbots into drive-thru ordering. The company says the technology will be phased out by July 26th. Neither firm provided a reason for the split. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Wendy's, Carl's Jr., Hardee's, White Castle all working on their own AI drive-thru technology. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Ann Jacobs, newly elected chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, has voiced her support for criticized elections administrator Megan Wolf. As Wisconsin's top election official, Wolf had been the target of criticism since the 2020 presidential election. Supporters of Donald Trump accused Wolf of election fraud, and Wisconsin Republicans failed to impeach her earlier this year. Jacobs spoke to WISN-TV's Upfront.
Megan Wolf has done an outstanding job, and the idea that we would not have her be our administrator because people believe in conspiracy theories is not how you run good government.
Both Jacobs and Wolf will oversee the presidential election in Wisconsin in November. A heat wave has rolled into Wisconsin. Temperatures are expected to be in the low 90s in some parts of the state Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, with heat indexes in the high 90s. Thunderstorms are also expected this week. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers with another series win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers win a thriller 5-4 before a sold-out AmFam Field on Father's Day. It's the eighth time in a row the Brewers have beat the Reds in a series. Willie Adames with another dramatic home run in the sixth to take the lead on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Contreras at second, Yelich at first. And Adames in the center field. He is watching. This one is back. And the Brewers take the lead.
Really thought they were going to attack me with the fastball because last time I faced him, he was throwing me a lot of fastballs in. So I just try to get a pitch closer to me. And, you know, I wasn't looking for it, but I recognized it and, you know, put the barrel on it.
That's Willy Adames. The crew in Anaheim tonight to take on the Angels. In golf, Bryson DeChambeau held on to win his second U.S. Open by beating Rory McIlroy.
I was a little lucky. Rory didn't make a couple putts that he could have coming in. I had an amazing up and down in the last. It's a dream come true.
That's Bryson DeChambeau. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers and storms this evening, mostly cloudy overnight. Lows, low 70s. Warmer and more humid tomorrow. Highs, upper 80s and breezy. Afternoon and evening, storms return. Heavy rain, large hail, isolated tornadoes, and gusty winds all possible. Currently at 68.
Earl Ingram.
Tuesday, join me and my good friend Sandy Williams for our regular conversation. We'll discuss some of the issues that are impacting you and I every day.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. And I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. And we discuss national and local Native American news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues. And human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Did you see that I tried to switch it up a little bit there, and then I got my name wrong? That was really interesting. I didn't know who I was for a minute there.
That's okay. We all know.
Yeah. And Wendy always promised that she'd put me in a good home, but really, I don't know if I'd know the difference if I was in a good or a bad home.
Oh, I'd see her to it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, gotcha. All our listeners out there, you heard that. My Chujunk Haley will make sure that things are done in a good way when I don't know what the heck's going on.
Yep, you heard it first here.
Right on. Hey, we have a guest on our weekly Monday show, Dr. Stately, who's executive officer and president of Native American Community Clinic. And I want to be able to say in a Bush Foundation winner, is that correct, or am I getting that wrong because I'm jealous?
Well, both things could be true. These things are not mutually exclusive.
Okay, it was funny the first time. You don't have to beat it to death. Yes, I'm jelly, and we have Dr. Stately.
The executive officer of the Native American Community Clinic and
yes,
a Bush Fellowship, 2024 Bush Fellow Award.
So. Yeah,
that's
congratulations.
Huge. Congrats.
Fine.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. Thank you.
Well, also, yeah. Too, I know that you're super busy in your work, but also you have twin sons, or wait, one set of twin sons, so that's two, that's not four. And I know you were working on this for quite a while because there's a lot of hoops to jump through. Can you tell our listening audience what this entails, this huge, huge award to you?
The fellowship, or the process, the writing of it?
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah.
We got a whole show
and it's raining cats and dogs again, so I don't have to go to my car for a while, thank God. I started the process about this time last year, so for any of you who might think you might want to apply for a Bush Fellowship, it's going to open up here probably in about a month, 2 months, I think. It opens up like right around, I think the mid-August or the end of August, the beginning of September, and you something like that. So the whole process takes about almost a year. It's like a 9-month process. I had been considering writing for a Bush Fellowship, I think at least 3 or 4 times over the last 7 years or so. Mm-hmm. Since I started my role here at NAC. I always had the one thing was that there was always this, ever since I got here in NAC, there seemed to be kind of a crisis every single year. There was there was the opioid epidemic, which I stepped into in this role. Then there was the wall of forgotten AIDS a year after that. And then the worldwide pandemic after that. So there was all these, I was busy and I had all these things that were preventing me from being able to sort of just focus and sit down and do it. And over the last year or so, I started working with this, mentor and coach, who's been working with us in the clinic and doing some stuff in leadership, and not just for the leadership, but across the entire organization. I've been working with this amazing woman who, I went to her office one day for a coaching session and we're talking, and I said, well, I was thinking about applying for the Bush Fellowship, but it's due in a week and I don't really have the time to do it. It's like, I pushed the deadline out too far again. And she was like, she looked at me, she goes, you totally need to write that Bush Fellowship. And I was like, how am I going to do that in a week? She was like, you can knock this out in a couple of days. And I was like, I don't know. But, she just kind of held my feet to the fire and said, you're already doing a lot of the things, you can build on what you've already been doing. So just kind of don't reinvent the wheel here. Just make the wheel bigger and add some spokes to it, kind of a thing. And we sat down and that day and we sort of kind of went through all of the different pieces of it. And I said, what I thought I was, we whiteboarded it, not on this one. This is a different whiteboard, but at her office. And by the time we ended our conversation an hour later, I was like, oh yeah, I have a fellowship application here. She's like, okay. And I just took pictures of the whiteboard and went home and I wrote it. I wrote it in 6 days.
Wow.
Wow.
Which is crazy. But it was it had been in there percolating for a long time. I guess that's what I'm trying to say too. It's what I would say to any of our listeners is if you've been considering, you have an innovative idea, you have some ideas about things you want to do. And the fellowship is really about sort of growing your leadership in the community and creating opportunities for people to step into leadership roles and advance their leadership in really demonstrable and meaningful ways that will impact not just their professional life, but also the community. Then if you've been thinking about it for a while, spend some time, consider it. I'd been thinking about it for a long time, so it had a long time to perk in my head and in my heart for a while. And so the writing of it, once I sort of kind of had some time to just talk it through with somebody and get some clarity on the different pieces of it, it really did come quite naturally. I wrote the entire application in 2 days, edited it, re-edited it, and submitted it within the next 2 days. So within a week, I applied. I was shocked that I got the second round of applications. So, yeah. Well, so there was 588 people applied. They whittle it down to 78. And those 78 submit a second round of applications. Form 3 or 4 more questions. They read those and then they whittle it down from 78 to 36. And then you go and you do a day long session of interviews with, I think, 6 groups of 2 people all day long. They ask you questions. And then out of those 36, they pick 24. So.
Wow. And then how are you eligible? What is the eligibility of winning this?
Anybody can apply if they're. It's not for Indigenous people only. It's for anybody who lives in Minnesota, the Dakotas, I think, and also I forget their territories. So I think it's, I should know this better here. Anyway, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, and I believe also Nebraska. I want to say that.
So I'm not surprised you won, because of all the great work and that you do in the community. I really am not. And I'm glad you applied for it. Let's talk a little bit about the eligibility and then get into what you want to talk about. But I just applaud you. It's a huge deal. And it sounds like you had to do a lot of work to get there just to apply. But you've been doing work in the community for so many years. I'm just happy to know a Bush Fellowship person right now. So, hey, let's talk a little bit more about this. We're here with Dr. Stately, a Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. We'll be right back.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, June 15th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org. Again, that's at metrotransit.org.
Hi, it's Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio. If you need new windows for your home or business, I highly recommend 952 Windows. They offer windows and doors with the longest warranties and Energy Star's #1 most efficient ratings. I can personally vouch for them, having known the owner for decades. They did a fantastic job on our second floor addition 20 years ago, installing windows, roofing, siding, and even adding a master bedroom and bathroom. In my opinion, they're one of the most best-kept secrets in remodeling. As Onyx Bath and Rosebud Cabinet Dealers, 952 Windows guarantees top quality products. Until now, 952 Windows thrived on referrals and the loyalty of satisfied window light customers. They continue to support these customers by providing warranty parts for the 80,000 windows sold since 1994. For unbeatable deals and trusted service on windows, doors, roofing, siding, kitchens, bathrooms, and more, call 952 Windows or visit 952windows.com. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
And you also can add home of the Bush Fellowship person, Dr. Stately. Hoa. Yeah. Hey, welcome back. Yeah. Welcome back. That's so huge. And I guess I'll wrap this up, but we'll be talking about it more as we talk over the weeks and years that we'll be together. So, you know, it's somebody in the community doing good work. That's the eligibility, right?
Yeah. Well, the technical eligibility for it, and I just wanted to clarify really quickly because I misspoke in the earlier section. So the Bush Fellowship will open annual. It's an annual award process. And It usually opens up like towards the end of August. So like somewhere around the third or the fourth week of August. And you got about a month to write that first application. And I think the end date is like the end of September. So, but it changes every year. So just kind of go on the website and check it out if you're thinking that you want to do that at some point in time, right around August.
Cool.
They'll announce the opening of it around that time and it's on their website. But to be eligible, you have to be at least 24 years old at the time that you submit the application, the application deadline. You have to be at least 24 years old by the application deadline. You have to be a resident of Minnesota or North Dakota or South Dakota or one of the 23 Native nations that share that same geography. And you would have to have been a resident of those places for at least 1 year at the time you apply, before you apply. Mm-hmm. And then you can't have had a previous Bush Award, Bush Fellowship, Artist Fellowship, a Leadership Fellowship. And I think they also have a Medical Leadership Fellowship and an Enduring Vision Award. And then you can't be a member of the Bush Family Foundation. Family member, you can't be like one of those people. So, mm-hmm. But the criteria is set every single year and they send it out. They do a pretty good job of advertising, I think. And then like, I know my family got really excited. Everybody, like my kids were like, oh gosh, like, you know, woohoo, they're acting like they're, you know, they already had their laundry list of all the things they wanted to go and buy with that award. And I was like, the money isn't in. It's like, this is not new hockey equipment for you. This is like for me.
I can't hit you up for a loan then, huh? I can't hit you up for a loan, that new car.
You can try, but yeah, you won't be hitting very hard. but there were many people ahead of you already anyway, so you're way back end of the line anyway. But really it's the fellowship is really sort of kind of like to support your leadership, the development and the ongoing development of your leadership. And then also to sort of like, you know, to give you the things that you need to be able to sort of be a better, a stronger, a more, you know, impactful leader. And then also a big part of that also for me, it was, and they talk about it as well, as like, you know, leaders in our communities oftentimes don't take the time to tend to themselves and take care of themselves. They don't really, you know, which is certainly the case with me. And so when I wrote my award, I really had to think through like, what was I going to do to kind of like do both advance my leadership and then also take care of myself. And a big part of what I wrote my award around was really specifically over the last 5 or 6 years working here at NAC, I really worked hard and diligently within the clinic and also within the community to expand access to spiritual care services and traditional healing as a mechanism for to advance healing in our community around trauma and historical trauma and you know, really important work that, you know, we've been talking about for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that I wrote about is I talked about how, you know, I'm a strong champion for this work and I have been for years. But I also haven't even had the time to avail my own healing with that work as well. So I have this real sort of like broad scope of like, you know, spending time to go into ceremony and do ceremonies with my, you know, with Mde people, with Dakota people, visit other tribal communities and other, all across Turtle Island and some places in, international places where people are doing really important, interesting work and reclaiming their indigenous ways of practicing spiritual care and well-being. Things that will allow me to kind of bring back that knowledge and those experiences, lived experience, not just sort of like reading about it or seeing it from afar, but actually living it, will help me to sort of embed it better within the clinic and within the community I serve. So it's kind of like, and you know, in one of my interviews that you have to have like this, I was telling you earlier, you have these 6 rounds of interviews that you do with folks. Mm-hmm. And somebody asked me at the end of the day, like, how was your interview today? I said, well, it felt a little bit like I never did speed dating, but that's kind of how I imagine it would be like. It's like, you know, just being like, you know, you know, 6 hours of just have people asking you questions and you having to think up something on the spot and, you know, kind of just talk about who you are and what you plan to do with your life. And I remember having this conversation and one gentleman said to me, asked me the question, he said, well, how is this going to take care of you? It sounds like you're going into ceremony to do these, all these things for our community or for your community, but like, how is it going to take care of you? And I said, well, you know, I happen to believe that by going to ceremony and participating in a lot of these things, I'm also going to do some, like I'm going to do a leadership program as well up in Canada, Indigenous leadership program. And I said, well, I'm going to go do it, but it's also going to heal me at the same time I'm learning. I'm like, this is like about, you know, taking care of myself. And at the same time, I'm going to be healing my own self, my own spirit, my own mind and body and spirit, and renewing myself at the same time that I'm learning. And I'm going to bring all those gifts back to my community. And I said, and in the Indigenous community, like, we don't really think of like ourselves. We center the things that we do in our lives around like what's good for our families and our communities and our nations. Like, you know, we're only as well as those other things in our lives, right? Our well-being is tethered to that. So like, I can't imagine how to do this any differently, actually. And then he was like, and then the white guy, by the way, and he says, and at the end, it was my last interview for the afternoon. And he goes, well, I just have a question. He was like, what are you going to do if you don't get the award? And I was like, oh, I'm still going to find a way to do it. It'll just take me longer. Right. So, you know, let me be clear. I'm going to figure it out. But if I get the fellowship, it's going to help me move it that much faster and that much easier. So it'll be a tremendous gift if I get it. But I'll still find a way to do it.
You know, it's interesting too, Native Americans, and I know when we talk a lot about recovery because we're both recovering, and I know we had to, and people did this for us when I recovered, was to give it away to keep it, and that is so much the Native way too, is that, you know, everything that I've given away, I get back tenfold, whether it's giving money away or whatever somebody needs it, somehow it comes around. If I keep my eyes open and my spiritual connection open, I can see these things.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And I think, you know, like I was just saying this to my sons a couple of days ago. We were talking about some things and I don't remember the context off the top of my head, but I was just like, I said, you know what? I just want to be really clear with you about something. I said, when Creator sends us here, like we don't own any of this. The one thing that you get when you come here, that is yours, is this. You get your body. Your spirit gets your body. Everything else, nothing else belongs to you. Nothing else. This is the only thing we get. So. Take really good care of this thing and this body, this thing we've been given by Creator. I said, and more importantly, like taking care of this is not going to be accomplished if you don't also take care of the things around you, the people around you, all your relatives, the plants, the water, the animals, I can't remember exactly how we ended up, but like, you know, I was telling them about why it's important to take care of our dogs, right? So these are our relatives. They've been given to us and gifted to us as from the Creator. Like we are one with them. They are important to us. And if you love something and you love people, you love the animals, you love the things, then you take care of them, you tend to them, you give it attention, right? And you value it for the importance it has in your life.
So. Yeah. And I don't know, that's a lesson that I've been told over and over, and I guess.
Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Spending $50 million just through the end of this month as President Biden's reelection campaign is to saturate TV screens in battleground states with ads about Donald Trump's felony conviction. The former president is using his felony conviction and mugshot to raise money. It's going to be hot enough or too hot for over 75 million people this week in the U.S. Heat alerts affecting that many. New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
With climate change leading to more frequent and intense heat, summers are different than they were before. And so we should expect and be prepared for the hot weather that is coming.
Fire crews in Southern California say they're making progress against that big wildfire north of Los Angeles in the mountains. Police using water cannons to try to break up this protest of thousands in Jerusalem, but it didn't work. The protesters want new elections and want Prime Minister Netanyahu to resign. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state Supreme Court is expecting to issue a ruling soon about ballot drop boxes. University of Wisconsin political scientist Barry Burden.
The Supreme Court has considered a new case that would allow them again, and there is a new liberal majority that seems more inclined to permit those again as they were used in 2020.
Last week, justices gave local clerks flexibility about locating absentee polling places, but kept a ban on early voting vehicles in place. The U.S. Energy Department is giving the University of Wisconsin Extension $1 million to educate communities about large-scale renewable energy projects. Those projects usually go up in smaller communities where they often face strong local opposition. Wisconsin already has 33 large-scale solar developments in place or in progress in 21 counties. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Apple TV did not censor Jon Stewart, so says Jon Stewart. On a recent episode of the Town podcast, Stewart discussed his exit from the show, The Problem with Jon Stewart, after two seasons. Stewart said, when you work for a major corporation, there is no real free speech. You get to do what you want until they think it's going to hurt their beer sales. Stewart is still on TV, however, guest hosting The Daily Show one day a week until the fall election. Luckily for him, The Daily Show viewers are not beer drinkers. The second half of the third season of Bridgerton just dropped on Netflix. The hosts of The View had fun discussing a steamy six-minute sex scene from a recent episode, prompting Joy Behar to refer to her fellow co-hosts as one horny panel. Co-host Sandra Haynes said, "The scene had a physical effect on her, adding, it takes me places just watching it. I can't be alone. Can't be alone for 6 minutes during an R-rated sex scene? That could have been an entry in my high school diary." If I had kept a high school diary. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers and storms this evening, mostly cloudy overnight. Lows, low 70s. Warmer and more humid tomorrow. Highs, upper 80s and breezy. Afternoon and evening, storms return. Heavy rain, large hail, isolated tornadoes, and gusty winds, all possible. Currently at 68.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions, get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by Milwaukee Journal Sentinel commentator James Causey for our newest segment. What's on your mind, James? Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Hey, 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 hey.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry, working together with clients to design, perform, create, and accomplish. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com.
Yeah, Chuck's a great guy, and give him a call. He's ready to go. Hey, we are here with Dr. Stately, and again, we talk, I like this word too, a potpourri of things here on Monday with Dr. Stately. And we're congratulating him with his Bush Fellowship, and also we already know the great work that he does. And I've said this before, Dr. Stately, but I'm always proud, we in the community and even outside our Native community, people know you, and I name drop and say, well, Dr. Stately's on our Monday show, and then they seem really impressed with me. So I appreciate that gift.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. I appreciate it. It's the oddest thing. Like, I don't know who it was. Somebody left a card for me on my front doorstep. Like, somebody in like my home community. They just heard it, and then like, well, I came home and I just saw this card sitting in front of the door, and I was like, what is that? And I picked it up, and it was a nice card from somebody in my community entirely said thank you or congratulations. That was really nice.
Yeah,
it's kind of strange. Like, send me a message through what's that called? I forget what that thing is, that neighborhood circle thing that I belong to. But it's just it's a really lovely acknowledgement of the work I have been doing, you know. And the other thing that is that, so it's, you know, like I'm a little baffled at times, I think, not baffled, I guess, like I get a hard time sometimes talking about it, because I wanna say that, you know, the work I do in the community is like, it's, well, I think I wrote my Bush Award, like one of my final parts of like one of the questions, like the, I think it was the last question, it was the final part. And I said, you know, I framed this and I said, this is a love letter to my family, and this is a love letter to my sons and to my community, as the way I sort of kind of ended that essay. And what I meant by that is that like, I am deeply aware that like the life I have, the work I do, the connections I have in the community, the richness that has brought to me and the life of my family and my extended family and all of the people that I have relationships with has been like has been beyond my wildest dreams, actually. Like, I wouldn't, you know, I think you and I have talked about this before, like, I, you know, if you had told me 40 years ago that I'd be a doctor and I'd be working in the community that I was raised in and that I would be doing this kind of work, I would have, like, you know, well, first of all, I would have been drunk, and so I would have said something, you know, I would have swore, like, you know, shut the F up, and you know, oh my god, what do you think, like something like that, because it wasn't something that I could have imagined, you know. I didn't know. And so getting clean and sober was a really big part of that. Like, it just created the opportunity for me to begin the process of thinking through, like, okay, what could I do in, with my life to be of service? And what can I do with my life to sort of give back? Because, you know, I have the life that I have because, you know, other people before me built this pathway, right? My parents, my grandparents, my great grandparents, all of our ancestors have built the path that we're on so that we can kind of be on this path and we can move things forward. And, you know, it's an honor and a privilege for me to be able to come and do the work I do. It doesn't even feel like work most of the time, because it's so, what do you call it? So life-giving, and it feeds me, it inspires me to be around other people that are doing this kind of work. So I really do have, quite honestly, the most amazing life beyond my wildest dreams, and I would have never thought it possible.
Well, you know, when I was teaching high school, you know, when I first started teaching high school, I had imposter syndrome because I was one of those kids that didn't stay in school, that was caught smoking cigarettes and other things, and, you know, and getting phone calls. But, you know, in the big picture, I could relate to those kids even more when I became a teacher and new things like it's not a race, and, you know, people get to where they need to get to in their time or the creator's time. Mm-hmm. But I really did have imposter syndrome in the beginning. And I don't think I do now that I'm ancient, but when I was in my 30s, I was definitely, my eyes were definitely dark brown, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, imposter syndrome, or the idea like you don't belong somewhere, that you don't deserve the things that you have, whether that's a career, whether it's your home, whether it's your family, whether it's, you know, like if you have this feeling, I think the other thing I can tell you is, like, you know, that still comes up for me every once in a while. Hmm. It's not done and gone and over with. There are some situations, and I've had some situations in the not too distant past where even within the last 3 weeks, actually, where I felt a little bit like this doesn't seem real, right? So, having this moment where I'm like, oh, you know, someone's going to wake up and figure out, like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Right.
Well, and I think prove that's it like here that's, every that's, 5 days. I prove it here on the radio 5 days, right, Haley? But no,
sometimes.
Yeah.
You proved it about 30 minutes ago when we started. but I'm joking.
That's part of my charm.
We love you. We love you. It is part of your charm. It's part of your shtick too. So I think, but what I'm saying is, like, I think that's a really common universal thing, especially I think within communities of people like ours that are where we experience a lot of oppression, systemic racism, oppression, you know, the weight of colonization that pushes us down, right? And we rise up and we get a little bit of our, you know, and there's a moment where we're like, I think I have those moments every once in a while where I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be able to do this, you know? And what I do actually when I have those moments, and it happens quite frequently in my life, whether it's, you know, my professional career, whether it's like in the work I do, whether it's like in my family or any, you know, with my kids, I tell people all the time, it's ironic that I'm a child psychologist because I can help everybody else with their children. I just can't seem to like get mine to do what I need them to do. Right. Like, so I'm like, oh, I'm a failure at being a psychologist. It's like all that money I paid for that. But part of it is like, this is like every single day, day in, day out, life is going to present some challenges to us. And I think what I always do when I don't know what I'm going to do, I say this to you all the time, I put tobacco out and I say a prayer and I just ask for help. I ask for guidance. I ask for support. Mm-hmm. I ask invite my ancestors and my, you know, and all the spirit, all of my spiritual support to come and help me, hold me up, because it is hard work to be a Indigenous man in 2024 and, you know, living under this, you know, the weight of oppression, the weight of colonization, you know, swimming, pushing up against those, you know, those headwinds that sort of like, you know, want to quiet and, you know, put down the work we're doing. And it is a challenge. But, you know, the other thing to remember is that we're not doing this. I don't do anything I do in my work or in my community. I don't do it alone. I'm doing it with a bunch of other people. Yeah. Anything is possible if I have other people that are working with me.
Yeah, I really need to hear this. I had a rough day at work today, so I appreciate those words. Because you got to keep the, even if things around you aren't on the same page as you are, you got to keep those good thoughts and pray and tobacco out and talk to people, which is always good therapy for me. Talk to like-minded people to keep you going, because, you know, this is off subject a little bit, but, you know, I love books. I love reading. I love history. And I picked up a book, the history from the 50s and 60s. And I thought, well, this would be interesting because I just was born in this, 1961. And there's not one, and it's a thick book, and there's not one thing about Native Americans in it. There's not one thing about indigenous people across the world. And that's where our history starts from our age, Dr. Stately, that that we've transcended from, really. And if you stop and smell the roses, as they say, we've come a long way and we have a long way to go. And, you know, I'm kind of rambling, but it really kind of blew my mind is that there is no Native history that we can lean against that people all over the world know about us. It's just come out recently, a lot of our history, and we just got to keep plugging away, and we know it.
Yeah, we know it. And I think the other thing is that, like, and we have to share that with each other. We have to be talking and sharing that with each other. Like, we're oral historians. We share everything we know through story and sharing knowledge and wisdom that way, you know, through those methodologies, and we got to continue to do that. I also would say, like, it took us a long time to get where we're at. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought about this the other day. I looked back and I said, oh, the state of Minnesota is about 164 years old, since the Dakota War, so give or take. And one of the things I love about my nephew Ruben is he says, I don't want to keep having conversations about the Dakota War. He goes, it was 6 weeks, mm-hmm. 6 weeks out of the 10,000 or 12,000 years that we've been on this planet. Hmm. Like, we have resilience and brilliance and strength in our DNA, not just trauma. And so part of it is that we also have to remember, like, you know, we have this big, it took us a long time to get where we're at. It's going to take us a long time to get back to where we were before, but it's got to mm-hmm. be thoughtful and intentional, ceremonial, and we have to work together to do that. It's the only way we're going to get there.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Stately, do you have time for another segment, or it's the last segment? This has gone really fast today for me, and always really interesting in your perspective and things.
Sure, I'll hang on.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, or is it Roots Radio? I'm not sure, but we'll be back after this short break.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, June 15th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org. Again, that's at metrotransit.org.
As nature awakens this spring, let's awaken to the call of protection. Native brothers and sisters, let's bloom together by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. Let's nurture our heritage and safeguard our futures, one vaccination at a time. So be a vaccinative this spring by protecting yourself and others in our Native community. Whether you're due for an updated vaccine or just getting started, all COVID vaccines offer vital protection against severe illness. For our elders over 65, the latest vaccine is recommended by the CDC to maintain protection. So spring forward with strength, Native communities. Embrace the renewal of the season and safeguard our traditions by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl!
Howl, 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 howl.
Hey, we want to give Dr. Stately a quick shout out here. He had to, it's storming here, so he has to a good half hour, 40 minute drive home. So we appreciate him, and we got things to talk about, Haley, and things happening in the community here. But sometimes with Dr. Stately, it's really fun, and then other times it's really serious, and I really like our chats here on Monday.
I love our chats. Yeah, I think, you know, Dr. Stately is just a really great leader and just all around person in our community here. And, you know, just very wise. I know sometimes I'm holding back tears when we're having our little fireside chat here, but in the best way. And I always come out of these conversations just feeling very uplifted. So I always thank him for that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I was getting a little emotional there too for a little bit. And yeah, we have had some emotional times with Dr. Stately and, where he is now and what's happened to him. And we talked quite extensively with him about COVID over the years and how, you know, his family and him were really affected. And I if you remember that show that we did, that symposium we did with him, that was like, oh my God, I forgot all about that. And how quick do we forget, right?
Yeah. I mean, his journey has just been amazing, and he's been so, just someone to look up to in whether that's recovery or, you know, really anything. And we talk about healing a lot. And I think that's so cool how, you know, with this Bush Foundation Prize that his plans that he has to go out and see other Indigenous communities across the world and just learning from that and then taking that back while also healing himself and then bringing that back to our community is, I mean, I can't think of a better plan.
You know, I just got to give a quick shout out to Santina that listens to us and that's been, and just thank you for all the really kind words that you head our way on the chat here on Facebook and YouTube. It does mean a lot and we do read them. Mm-hmm. And, really, I just wanted to say that real quick because we don't acknowledge that a lot of times, Haley, but sometimes we're too cool, but I wanted to acknowledge it today.
No, I mean, just a big pinagigi to all of our listeners, especially our daily listeners and people who come back for our weekly guests, such as Dr. Anthony Stately, because I mean, you know, our listeners have grown up, you know, or not grown up, but I guess, you know, grown alongside of me, at least the past year, learning about our weekly guests and the amazing leaders that we have, not only in our Minneapolis urban Native communities, but all across Turtle Island. So thank you for listening to us and to our program. We really appreciate it.
And the typing in support. I love that really we are reading it and appreciate it. So if people are ever in the inkling to watch us on YouTube or Facebook, and we get a lot of people watching us now on the dreaded Twitter. We want to give those guys a shout out too, or X or whatever. It's I'm just seeing a lot of Teslas all the time
here. Yeah, whatever that guy did to it, who knows.
Right.
Well, since we're talking about NAC, Native American Community Clinic, and Dr. Stately, I wanted to quickly mention that they will be hosting another full moon ceremony this month. It will be taking place this Friday, June 21st at 9 o'clock p.m. This will be at the Little Earth Gym in Minneapolis. That's 2501 Cedar Avenue. And if you haven't been to a full moon ceremony before, the items that they ask to bring, please wear a long skirt, shawl, or sheet. There will be a potluck. A potluck, if you are able to, please bring a dish and share. Please bring your own feast bundles, like your own plate, fork, spoon, bowl, and cup are also encouraged. And then men of all ages are also encouraged to join the full moon ceremonies to learn about the duties of being a fire keeper.
You know, I want to switch gears too. Foreboding here this week with the weather, but if you want to meet Haley, she's going to be at the Four Sisters Market on Thursday, signing autographs and selling swag from some of our swag from Native Roots Trading Post.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Hopefully the weather clears up on Thursday. We know NACD, Native American Community Development Institute, here in Minneapolis, they have their Four Sisters Farmers Market that happens every Thursday from 11 to 3 p.m. at 1414 East Franklin Avenue. It's the yellow building on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. And it's a great time. There's vendors, there's healthy foods. I think there might be a food demonstration. So come learn how to make a really yummy meal out of our fresh fruit that grows out of the ground. So hopefully the weather clears out. I know that NACD has canceled the East Phillips Open Spaces planned kickoff event that was supposed to happen tomorrow from 4 to 10. So stay tuned to NACD's website, NACD's socials for a future date for that event.
Yeah, it's hard to predict the weather, and it's really been a wet one. And it's been interesting because we had a drought here in Minnesota for like 3 years, and now the river's angry, Haley.
Yeah, well, we're out of the drought now, right?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think the northern Minnesota is officially out of it too now, which was really dry compared to us in the cities here. But yeah, it's this weather is something else, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we always need, well, you know, we need the rain, but then we have our rivers, and it's always, you know, I've been seeing all these crazy flash flood warnings that we're getting in and around the Twin Cities metro area. And then these straight line winds, I don't know about you, but we just had our siding redone, I think it was last year because of a hailstorm, and we had some water leaking in through our windows. So I might have to give Chuck a call over at Native Concrete Masonry. Maybe he would know something about that.
Yeah, well, they're the people to call and give them a call and have them check it out. Hey, so a lot going on here. It's Monday, and, you know, Wendy's out in New York right now for a few more days, and the weather there is just getting really, really hot. We were talking about the weather, and that's what made me think about that. And it's just crazy that, well, it's June now, so summer's coming in, but we're having July, August weather. And today, it felt like, for me, it was like 64 degrees and raining, and I'm thinking, I feel like this is fall.
I know. Well, the summer solstice, that's the 21st, right, of June?
Yeah, the first or the second, I can't remember, but yeah, definitely, probably the 21st, you're right.
Yeah, I think I should know that, actually. It's my brother's birthday.
Oh, I hope he's not listening right now.
No, but funny story. So his native name, his Ho-Chunk name, is King of Thunder.
Oh.
And it always storms on his birthday. So I'll be curious to see if this weather will stay all week and we'll have some thunderstorms.
Wow. That's a powerful name, too.
Wakanja Wakanja Hunk, King of Thunder.
Wow. That's very cool. Very cool. So you had a good Father's Day.
I did have a good Jaji's Day. Did you?
Yes.
Good.
Well, as you know, one of my daughters, my Weeha, which is my second daughter, they're twins, but you know, there was a birthing order too. Yep. She's having twins. And
you're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio joins us at 10:33 in the 11 o'clock hour, a round of the good, the bad, and please tell me that's not true. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever they, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.